It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Hey, oh, hey, how you doing, everyone? Paul Heyman, I like it. Hey, how you doing, everyone? Hey, oh, oh. Wow. My God. You know, the phrase we use on this show is, we engage without the rage, we opine without the wine, and no hate and clickbait. Doesn't mean we can't criticize this pay-per-view. The Rock. All pay-per-view. All right, we get it. 25 years of The Rock. Not even a pre-freaking recorded video. Not even like, hey, WWE, here's the 25 more years. If you smell nothing, zero, zilch, nada, a big fat goose egg. Boy, I got to tell you, man, there were parts of this pay-per-view that absolutely, oh, and yes, I used the sit-down intro tonight because we were going to take some calls to talk about Survivor Series, but I have a feeling, number one, I don't know if it's worth to spend that much time talking about this pay-per-view. For me, this pay-per-view is about one match and one match only. Roger Rubio, thank you for the two-spot, my friend. No cup of coffee today. Instead, I get to buy eggs. What happened to the $100 million egg? I'm sorry, did he have a... Oh, no, we can't say that because it's controversy. Was it a Saudi egg? $100 million. Oh, my God. This is how you promote the movie? Man. I tell you, the New York crowd tonight tried. That Barclays crowd at points was so red hot, and at points was just not into it. Hey, I'm wearing my Mets hat. Yes, I can support the Mets. This is what I think about when I think about the Mets. B-Mark 360, thank you for the top dollar, the $5 super chat. He finds it so stupid. The crowd chants CM Punk and do the wave when WWE already got their money. Well, they're trying to entertain themselves. I mean, the most infamous time that I always remember with the wave was, wasn't it Randy Orton versus Sheamus? My God, yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday. When we did predictions, somehow we brought up the 150 matches that Randy Orton and Sheamus had in the past. And they did that wave that one time. They're trying to entertain themselves. Both of those Survivor Series elimination matches tonight were not very good. The men tried. The women tried. But my God, you know, I want to know which person was the producer of those matches. If you find out that Bruce Pritchard or John Laurinaitis was the producers of those two five-on-five matches, you might be a little bit concerned. We'll talk about it, everyone. We'll talk about it. Look, you know me. You know, I don't suck eggs all week. This in a WWE pay-per-view, you know, just saying it's going to be awful, 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 awful. And then most times than not, we get a decent pay-per-view. For Peacock and $9.99, it's worth $10. But if you would have said to me, DT, you have to pay $24.99 for Survivor Series. If I got to pay at the end, DT, if you like Survivor Series, then you pay the $24.99. I would have said, you're nuts. I would not have paid anything more than $10 for that pay-per-view. Because for me, and that's why I had Becky versus Charlotte as the thumbnail for a couple of weeks, is because that was the match I wanted to see. Period. I was hoping for better. I don't know if we necessarily got it. Now, don't get me wrong. I am very happy for Randy Orton tonight. Randy Orton tonight made pay-per-view history. Tonight was his 177th WWE pay-per-view appearance, which means he passes Kane. He is at top of the list, the most pay-per-view appearances in WWE history. Believe it or not, tomorrow on Raw, if Randy Orton appears and performs, which he will now hold the record of the most appearances on Monday Night Raw in its history. Pretty freaking cool. Pretty cool, man. Telling you, you look back at 2021. I mean, yeah, everybody will talk about Kenny Omega. Yeah, everybody will talk about, you know, some other wrestlers. I think Randy Orton definitely deserves to be on that list as far as MVPs for the promotions that these respected wrestlers work for. Randy Orton has been one of the go-to guys. Him and Riddle, arguably two of the most popular wrestlers in wrestling. But that's not enough for tonight. Survivor Series, since I've been watching wrestling since 79, Survivor Series is one of those pay-per-views where, you know, the big four, you know, it was always WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series. Those are the four that we used to look forward to more than anything. And man, I really was holding out hope that we were going to get some good stuff tonight, especially with the constant reminders. You would have thought that The Rock was retiring or was sick or was going to make an appearance. 25 years of The Rock, 25th anniversary, 25th anniversary, 25th anniversary, 25th anniversary. Not even a pre-recorded video. Then we had some weird stuff go down today. Anybody take notice? I have nothing against Xia Li. Did we need a Xia Li video package for 3 minutes? I mean, maybe Reggie was supposed to defend the 24/7 title? Were they supposed to run around? Because we had three video packages that I'm still scratching my head why we had them. Number one, the Xia Li one was not necessary. She had nothing to do with Survivor Series. Usually, WWE pay-per-views don't really lead into the regular television. The second one is, who in their right mind, and believe me when I tell you, because we know how the sausage is made, remember that I said this now, you're going to have wrestling news sites either report it tonight, or maybe they'll wait till tomorrow, because if they report it too fast, then everybody knows that they're full of it. But tomorrow, you're going to see some wrestling news sites report that there was some mistiming with the pay-per-view. And that is why they threw the Drew McIntyre piece on the pay-per-view. They threw a whole video package of Bobby Lashley, which was nice. Look, Bobby Lashley is awesome. They aired it right before Roman Reigns versus Big E. If you happen to turn the TV on at like 10:50 p.m. and you saw that Bobby Lashley package, you would have thought that Bobby Lashley was the one fighting in the main event tonight. What a really disorganized pay-per-view. I mean, the last pay-per-view with Crown Jewel, I gathered like 60 or 70 photos. So into the pay-per-view, you know, splicing and editing and putting beautiful montage together. Tonight, you know what photos I put together for tonight's show? Becky Lynch doing her best impersonation. Yeah, I know everybody is like, oops, I did it again. No, it didn't look like Britney Spears. If anybody that follows Marvel, that's what Becky Lynch was going for. The Scarlet Witch, right down to the boots. She was cosplaying as the Scarlet Witch. And by the way, if you have not seen it yet, go out of your way. Go out of your way. King of Games with the run-in. The $5 run-in. What do I think went wrong during the women's elimination match? I'll get into that in a few minutes, King of Games. I mean, you know, if I do the outcome now, I mean, if you want me to give you the cliff notes of what I'm going to say later, and look, I'm doing this live literally 2 minutes after the pay-per-view ended. The stupid decisions. It just, Sasha Banks, you know, gets counted out, and two times she entered the ring, and it was just sloppy. It was sloppy. It just was a mess. I mean, just everything about it, it just did not fit. It did not fit. And believe me when I tell you, I used to love the five-on-five elimination matches. But when you see people, and look, I've been saying it since Wednesday, when we realized in AEW that Bryan Danielson is going to be wrestling the Dark Order until January. And I joked and I said, if that was WWE programming, Bryan Danielson, as Daniel Bryan, would have fought the Dark Order on Monday Night Raw in a gauntlet match. And what would happen? Someone would get disqualified. Somebody would get counted out in the ring. Somebody would just walk away. And you'd have five or six decisions in a matter of 20 minutes. And that's fine, you know, if the story around it. But my God, you have, oh, it was just disorganized. 1 minute, You have Shotzi does the splash. Then you have Sasha do the splash. And it looks like everybody's working with each other. And then for no reason at all, push, shove, push, shove. Shayna Baszler, she looked like a fish out of water for a while. I mean, yeah. I mean, tonight was about building Bianca Belair. People are not going to be satisfied till she has the women's title again. The Battle Royal was about Omos, you know, and how big he is and the dominance. But, you know, it was just a mess. It was just disorganized mess. This pay-per-view tonight, in my opinion, putting aside Randy Orton's record, this was about one match. And I tell you, I really was excited. I did a poll earlier if we should take some calls tonight. But I know it's going to happen if we open the phone lines. Wow, this pay-per-view was so disappointing. They hyped up The Rock all night long, and we didn't even get a pre-recorded. That's going to be everybody's calls tonight. But what I was going to say a few moments ago, if you haven't seen it already, there is a backstage video that was done with Becky Lynch after her match with Charlotte tonight. And Becky Lynch breaks down and is sobbing. And look, let me make this clear. Remember what I said yesterday. Remember what I said a week ago. Remember what I said 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. Charlotte and Becky Lynch do have animosity towards each other. But they are professionals. And they put that animosity aside because of their love for pro wrestling. They work hard. They put all their effort into it. For people out there that, you know, thought that this was a shoot that was going on in the ring, I mean, if you look closely, you know, they're talking to each other. You know, this one is rolling to, you know, to be in position to take a move in this and that. They don't like each other. Remember what I said a month ago? WWE is going for those Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels vibes. That's exactly what they were doing. Tonight's match, people are already saying match of the year for women's wrestling. And honestly, unless there is a match that I am totally forgetting, and no, it's not Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa, sorry. Excellent match, but not match of the year. Yeah, this match tonight with Becky versus Charlotte arguably could be the women's match of the year. I mean, there's some others that are very close. I mean, I got to think about it. I'm not proclaiming it to be the be-all, end-all for this year, but Becky, after that match is over, is sobbing. And you see, you feel it, you see it, the emotion going right through the screen that she doesn't get along with Charlotte right now, but when it comes to business, it's business first, and that's what went down tonight, you know. They're slapping each other. They're getting into it, trying to one-up each other. But at the end of the day, even if somebody does a beautiful move, and even if it looks like they just showed up the other person, at the same time, you'll see them move around and set up for the next move. You'll see them talking to each other because they are consummate professionals. You know, I get a kick out of the people out there that have been ragging on Becky Lynch since she's returned. And because some people tonight think that, oh, she looks like, you know, the Britney Spears red one-piece bodysuit. She looks so hot tonight. No, she ain't so bad. You're either a fan or you're not. Either a fan or you're not. And there's people out there that are just afraid that when it's a moment like this and everybody is supporting her and behind her and they see that emotional video, you see their testicles, for the most part, for the men, you see it leave the building because they're petrified to have all of social media gang up on them. I'm a diehard Charlotte Flair fan, but I am also a Becky Lynch fan. And if you've not seen that video that I'm talking about, go seek it out. And you'll understand what I'm talking about. Very, very powerful. Austin, am I wrong? Not wrong. So as far as taking calls, maybe we will, maybe we won't, you know. Maybe, I just don't want people to call in and say, yeah, I saw the pay-per-view. Yeah, he hyped up The Rock. You know, if you have something specific you want to get into, yeah, I'll open the phone lines for a little while. But what I was going to say earlier is the only photos that I pulled together tonight was Becky Lynch's outfit, because a lot of people probably did not know why she was dressed the way she was. So there you go. Also, Vince McMahon and $100 million egg. $100 million egg. We didn't even get a conclusion of it. I would have been fine if it would have been the mini gobbledygooker, the midget gobbledygooker, the hornswoggle gobbledygooker. Pop out of there. Cleopatra's $100 million egg. Somebody stole it. Somebody stole it. Adam Pearce, go question every WWE superstar. Somebody stole it. Adam Pearce? Adam Pearce is very relieved tonight because Adam Pearce now has to question the entire WWE roster. Who stole the egg? Hey, Adam, you should be very thankful because a little over a year and a half ago, you would have had to have questioned another 100 to 120 additional WWE superstars. It's not a joking matter. But if you think about it, Adam Pearce, like, oof, just in time. Thank you. There's about 40 people in the last couple of weeks. I don't have to question. No conclusion with the egg. No Rock appearance. We get BS finishes. Oh, man. Not very good. Now, for those that don't know, the reason why they were doing the egg stuff tonight, if you're not aware of it yet, The Rock has a movie coming out. It's called Red Notice. And I looked up the synopsis of this movie. And the synopsis is, and I quote, when the Interpol issued Red Notice, the highest level warrant to hunt and capture the world's most wanted goes out, the FBI's top profiler, John Hartley, who is The Rock, is on the case. His global pursuit finds him smack dab in the middle of a daring heist where he's forced to partner with the world's greatest art thief, Nolan Booth, played by Ryan Reynolds, in order to catch the world's most wanted art thief, the Bishop. The Bishop. Sounds like he should team up with the Butcher and the Blade. The Butcher has a torn bicep. Maybe the Bishop. We have the Bishop and the Blade. The Bishop. That's what all that crap was about tonight. Now I'm definitely not seeing that movie. I don't care how good everybody says it is. Hell no. Awful. Awful. Oh, and then we got pizza tonight. We got pizza. The Pizza Hut Battle Royal. R-Truth brings a slice in the ring. Omos is like, get that crap out of my face. Otis eats it. Thank you very much. And then he eliminates R-Truth. Ah, ha, ha, ha. After the match is over, Montez Ford. You remember Andre the Giant WrestleMania when he took Bobby Heenan, the body slam challenge with Big John Studdy's like, I don't want no money. Here's the money, everybody. Here's the money. Throws the money in the crowd. No, Montez Ford throws pizza in the crowd. Can you imagine all those people that were dressed nice. Hey, you know, maybe I could impress somebody. You know, and you got sauce and pepperoni and cheese all flying through the air. Throwing pizza. Some idiot is going to go on eBay tonight and say, piece of pizza thrown by Montez Ford. How do you even know? Is there a certificate of authenticity? Do you have video of you catching it and documenting it? So look, to the gentleman that said earlier about the wave and chanting CM Punk. Look, when WWE used to have fans chant CM Punk, it was to troll WWE. They did it to Stephanie. They did it to Vince. They did it to wrestlers. Wrestlers that would cut promos. That was the fans trolling WWE. And they usually chanted CM Punk when they didn't like something. You know, and I'm talking years after CM Punk was gone. Now they do it. It's just to troll WWE. Hey, what you're giving us right now is beyond terrible. So we're going to do things to keep us entertained. And if you don't like it, now look, I want to make this clear. I guarantee you some of the women in that match are very, very upset and hurt by the fans doing the wave. The last time wrestlers did the wave, wasn't it the Royal Rumble? Was it the wave that they were doing, or they were doing the countdown or something like that? And I, was it Seth Rollins or somebody else that really got upset at it? I don't want to put it on Seth. It might not have been him. But those wrestlers get very, very offended. They worked their butts off tonight. Everybody worked hard tonight, no question. But maybe man, the way some of the stuff was put together, oh, you know, like I said, you know, we engage without the rage. That doesn't mean we can't criticize. That pay-per-view tonight was extremely disappointing. And my fiance expected The Rock tonight. I thought The Rock was going to be there tonight. Everybody I talked to privately said, you know, what do you think The Rock's going to do tonight? I'm not going to lie. I had the synopsis for tonight's show. I had two different ones set up. I had a different title set up that The Rock makes an appearance, plants the seed against Roman Reigns. The only thing that was stopping me about going further with the idea of The Rock showing up tonight is Brock Lesnar. We talked about it yesterday. As it is right now, Brock Lesnar is reinstated. They did a segment tonight. Brock Lesnar is going to appear on, I think, next Friday SmackDown. Brock Lesnar is going to be in the Royal Rumble. Brock Lesnar is the favorite to win the Royal Rumble. Brock Lesnar is the favorite to beat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. So that was the only thing stopping me about The Rock tonight. That's why I didn't write anything. I didn't write anything about The Rock tonight, not even a teaser. Because I said to myself, if Brock is going to return at the Rumble, and Brock wins the Rumble, and he takes on Roman Reigns at Mania, where does Dwayne Johnson fit in all of this? It doesn't. If Brock would have never returned to Crown Jewel, then I would have thought otherwise tonight. But if you just thought about the storyline and Brock Lesnar returning, you know, unless WWE was going to plant the seed for a year. And I know that's what we talked about yesterday. We talked about that yesterday. Would WWE do similar what they did with John Cena and Roman Reigns? Announce the match a year in advance. But man, I mean, we appreciate The Rock, no question. And yes, it's 25 years of The Rock. But when you add up the amount of time that that's for a Monday night. I know they don't do it on Monday Night Raw because the whole idea is he debuted at Survivor Series 25 years ago. That's why they did that tonight. But all you needed was one package. We didn't need to be reminded 6-7 times during the pay-per-view. He didn't die. He's not returning. He doesn't even say thank you other than a tweet. You know, so, man, you add up all the vignettes that they show tonight at The Rock, and you add Xia Li's vignette, and you add that Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley video package, you have at least, why was Damian Priest, well, you know what, after what we got on that match, you know, I guess I understand why it was on the pre-show. But we will talk about it. Let's get into these matches one at a time. Because believe it or not, we've already gone 26 minutes. Like I said, this pay-per-view does not warrant a 90-minute show. So, about Randy Orton becoming the sole holder of the most appearances on the WWE pay-per-view and tomorrow on Raw, he made a little statement that I'd like to share with you. And he said, and I quote, "I've never been one to keep records or stats throughout my career. Early on, it was laughable to consider in my profession that you had wins and losses. You certainly wouldn't talk about it with the boys, much less fans. But I'm fortunate to have some fans and friends that have done just that, kept my stats. Not just wins and losses, but damn near everything you could possibly think of. And it came to my attention that at Survivor Series, I will set a new record for most pay-per-view matches by anyone in WWE history. The following night on Raw, coincidentally, if I have a match, I will have more matches on Raw than anyone in history. I saw this online, checked it, and it's true. Kind of hard to believe, as it feels like I only started in OVW yesterday. I just want to take a minute in light of these stats and let everyone out there know that ever supported me in any way, know that I am thankful. I also know with all my heart that I couldn't have done it without you. Now on to my 15th Survivor Series. Man, time flies, doesn't it?" So, tell you, man, you think about Randy Orton in his younger years and some of the unprofessionalism of him, and you know, you see what happens. You get older, you mature, you wise up. The guy, you know, is just class act. Class act. I know there's some stories out there, you know, we don't know for sure if they're true, but they seem like they are. But, you know, people make mistakes. And I think Randy Orton has proven over the years that he is a team player and has grown up. And honestly, good for him. Good for him. By the way, with that egg tonight, how many goofs online did you see writing that they hoped that Vince McMahon, the egg that he was fondling, had salmonella all over it? Oh, they hate Vince McMahon. Evil Vince McMahon. Evil Vince McMahon. You would think a billion-dollar publicly traded company that people would know a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that this is how they operate. You know, everybody seems shocked. Nobody is shocked. It's just for people in wrestling, they feel that it could never happen to them, or it shouldn't have happened to them, or it wouldn't happen to them. And for everyone else, you know, either people just were not aware of how things are done, or are just, you know, not interested in spending the time to become aware of it. And there are people out there that purposely avoid the facts so they can use it as a reason to just bitch and complain. By the way, I just said the word bitch. I think that's the first expletive I've done tonight. My goal was to not curse at all tonight. But, man, I really got to hold the expletives back for this first match. Now, my predictions tonight were not too bad. I honestly thought Big E was going to win by count out or disqualification. And, you know, to just have Roman Reigns win the way he did, so uneventful, you almost felt like something else was going to happen. Yesterday, I said that Becky and Charlotte should have closed out the pay-per-view. After watching Survivor Series tonight, I still feel that way. Maybe they didn't want to go off the air, you know, with Becky grabbing the ropes. But, man, what an uneventful main event tonight. We had no run-ins. Ah, but this. Shame on me for yesterday saying that this match is going to be a hell of a lot better than people expect. Was it bad? No, it was not bad at all. The match was fine tonight. But look, when I was growing up as a kid wrestling fan, Jimmy Hart, when he had the megaphone, during the match. And Jimmy Hart would yell through the megaphone all throughout the match. It was annoying, but it was entertaining annoying. I have nothing against Rick Boogs, but I swear, every time he was hitting that guitar notes, before the match, I'm fine with it. Him introducing Nakamura, I'm fine with it completely. Him playing the guitar during the match is so annoying and so distracting. And if you go back and you watch it, the crowd did not react at all. When he did the intro for Nakamura, everybody got into it. During the match, they did not react. And remember, this was the first match of the night. This was not after matches where they're just tired, they're coming down a little bit. They did not react at all. WWE, please, I beg you, stop with Boogs doing this guitar stuff during matches. I'm sure there's some of you out there that like it. There is no wrong answer. But in my honest opinion, that's terrible. Every time I started getting, you know what it's like? It's like intercourse. It's like foreplay. All right, for the PG fans out there, it's like making out. And you're having fun, you know, whether you like M&Ms with peanuts or without, whatever, floats your boat. You know, you're having fun. And every time you start getting into it, you think you're going to go to second base, the telephone rings. That's Rick Boogs with the guitar. Oh. And then you, all right. My mom's not going to call again. Where were we? Ring. Who the hell's this now? Telemarketer. You have an Amazon refund, $399. And the phone rings like four or five times. After the second or third time, that's it. I don't care who you're with. They could be like, nah, the moment has passed. The moment has passed. That was Rick Boogs tonight. They're baby faces. They're not heels. This is not Elias. This is not Abraham Washington getting on the mic during the match. That was awful. And Damian Priest snapping and grabbing Boogs' guitar, breaks it in half, hits him in the head, and then he hits Nakamura with it, gets disqualified. Man, what a sucky finish to what should have been a better match. I mean, I know Damian Priest, they're trying to make it like, and I know this is a really outdated reference, but it's like the Ricky Ricardo, you know, when he snaps, or he's like the Latino Incredible Hulk. Don't make me angry. You won't like me when I'm angry. And he snaps. He snapped against T-Bar. He snaps against Rick Boogs. He snaps against Nakamura. That was awful today. I was enjoying that match, and every time you see kicks, reversals, spin kick, another spin kick. I sound like a Gonzo from the Muppets. Hey, everybody! That was freaking awful. So Nakamura wins by disqualification. Terrible. Opening match. Yes, websites made you pay money today to tell you that they were closing out tonight's pay-per-view. And here I was like, hey, I told you all. Charlotte and Becky are going to close out the pay-per-view. It makes sense. People out there actually paid money today. Hey, everybody. Breaking news. Pay for my show. We're going to, Roman Reigns and Big E get open. No. And trust me, some conceited reporter, and I said that nicely, some conceited reporter is going to claim tomorrow that WWE changed up the match because websites reported that Big E and Roman Reigns were going to open up Survivor Series. Because of that, they changed it. Lie. Where's my bullshit alarm? I'm not going to press it. Some people get annoyed by it. We can press it. Yeah, but that would be cursing then. Is it cursing if I don't say it, but I show it?
Oh, come on now. That ain't even bullshit.
That is horseshit. I was on my best behavior for 35 minutes. Fuck that. I could curse a little bit. No, I don't think Sean Rostap Sapp charged money today, George. I don't think it was him. But I know there was a couple other sites that were doing that. So, opening match tonight, we get Becky Lynch versus Charlotte. And I already opened up by talking about they are consummate professionals, period. Not everybody in wrestling likes each other. You go back to the Click days, there was a lot of wrestlers that did not like Razor Ramon, Kevin Nash, Diesel, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, DX. You imagine if Twitter was around when DX first came around? D-Generation X? Do you have any idea how many wrestlers did not like the politics that was going on with DX? You go to WCW.
N-W-O.
It's nothing new. It's nothing new. You know, it's just in this day and age, everything is magnified. Everything is inflated, blown up. I talked about this yesterday. Unfortunately, in this day and age, a lot of people online like real-life friction than the storylines that are on TV. Charlotte Flair is hated by a lot of people, and there are too many people out there that will go out of their way to make Charlotte the bad guy no matter what. You have the Nia Jax stuff immediately. The whole locker room is behind Nia Jax. You know, they just inflate it so out of control. These two have animosity towards each other. It is competition. Each one wants each other's spot as being the top person in the company. Charlotte Flair, whether you like it or not, is the number one female of this generation. She's got every tool. And as I said a million times in the last couple of years, Asuka is a close second in my opinion. Becky Lynch is in the top 10, probably. You know, or she's about to, you know, maybe with a couple more years. But the thing is, you know, Charlotte Flair, because of her ability and her success, and yes, a lot of people will say because she's a Flair, you know, there's a lot of animosity. You know, a lot of people, when you have earned that position, yeah, you do get some benefits that other people don't. I mean, that's what happens with a lot of superstars. You know, over the years, how many times have you seen shoot interviews where they'll say that this person always had his own locker room? This person always had their own locker room. When I talked about when I was doing the indie wrestling work, and we were doing stuff with the triple threat, Shane Douglas, Bam Bam Bigelow, Chris Candido, God rest Bam Bam and Chris's souls. They had their own separate area where they would get ready. There was, you know, no animosity by the other wrestlers. A little jealousy, absolutely. But yes, you know, there is professional, you know, animosity. They were very, very close. Look, Becky Lynch in that video I told you earlier, she was crying saying that they almost died in a car accident. Becky Lynch is very hurt. No question. When you watch that video, you'll understand she is very hurt that a close friendship that she had with Charlotte has turned into a lot of animosity because of the positions that they are in. That does happen. There's no excuse for it. But again, when people are like, oh, they're shooting on each other. People want that. I'm not going to hurt myself. People want Becky Lynch. Punch her right in the face. Oh, did you see that kick early on? Becky Lynch, boosh, square, right in Charlotte's nose. Is she bleeding? People want to see that real life hatred, friction. And it's not just in pro wrestling, obviously. But at the end of the day, these two women are professionals. And they knew that they were going to air it out in that match. That match was a brawl. That match was a hard-nosed fight. that match delivered without a doubt. And because, look, let's be honest. Just because Becky Lynch is a mommy doesn't mean she didn't have an ego before. A lot of people up until a year ago said, oh, she thinks she's The Rock. She calls herself in the third person, the man, the man, the man, the man. You don't know where the line is as far as just the sports entertainment aspect and if it's gone to somebody's head. But as far as me as a fan, Becky Lynch, from what I hear from everyone, is a sweetheart. And she is much more humble for where she is. And I think that kind of resonates on TV. Becky Lynch, she's the man. She was the focal point. She was the number one person in WWE a couple of years ago. But it always felt like she was very humble and appreciative in the position. Charlotte Flair was also appreciative, but she's like, yeah, you're damn right. I'm the best. You're damn right. So tonight in their match, you got Charlotte really, really getting nasty, trash-talking Becky during the match. All these people know I'm the greatest. Come on, Becky, talk your shit, Becky. I mean, it just, it's them on steroids. Not physical, you know, injection steroids. I'm talking about just amplified to another level. They were going to be consummate professionals tonight, but they were going to be their finest. If Charlotte is going to trash talk, she's going to do it at the best she possibly can. If Becky is going to trash talk, she's going to do it at the best she possibly can. And guess what? When you have some real emotion in there, doesn't that ring a bell? Remember when Heath Slater made one appearance back on WWE TV, cut that promo, wanted to take on Drew McIntyre? You remember that night? Some of the best promos are the ones based on reality. We talked about Eddie Kingston when he was in NWA. We talked about Homicide. We talked about other wrestlers. When they cut promos and it's based on reality and the emotion is real, it's usually the most powerful ones. Same thing in the ring. You saw tonight them doing the moves they're supposed to, but trying to do it at the absolute best they possibly could. And I did like Pat McAfee's message tonight when Charlotte slammed Becky on the barricade in front of the Mets fan, and he's talking about how, you know, she did it right in front of that Mets fan that knows misery. Yep, without a doubt. But Charlotte, with a beautiful moonsault outside the ring, didn't really connect all the way. But camera work, again, camera work is very important. That's something that AEW definitely needs to improve a little bit, some of their camera work. Charlotte with the disarmer, you know, Becky's move, some hard freaking chops as well, but then the finish of the match. Charlotte tries to cheat to win. She grabs the ropes while she's trying to pin Becky. The referee sees it, stops it too. Becky then does the roll-up on Charlotte. Becky grabs the ropes. The referee doesn't see it. Charlotte is pinned. So Becky got a one-up on Charlotte Flair. It's not the first time this year that somebody cheated and got one-up on Charlotte. Anybody remember somebody by the name of Rhea Ripley? You remember when they were doing that? Charlotte was cheating to win, and Charlotte would say, I wouldn't expect anything less from Rhea Ripley. You're learning. You're learning. You're learning. Not the first time this year. In fact, I could tell you, if you want to compare it to Ric Flair back in the day, Ric Flair would cheat, and the ref would catch it, and then his opponent would do the same thing, and the ref doesn't catch it. It's so usually the pull of the trunks. But we weren't going to have a moon over Broadway today with the women. So, Darren, ease up, Darren. Ease up. After the match is over, Becky Lynch, you hear it audible. She's looking at the TV camera and says that Charlotte could go to the dirt sheets and tell them that she's the freaking best. So obviously the Dirt Sheets felt awfully honored to be name dropped during that. But again, you look at that video that they did backstage after the match was over, and you could see Becky Lynch physically and emotionally drained. Those two do not have to face each other again anytime soon. They can now focus on each other's respective brands. Now, will Sasha Banks do what I said yesterday? Because my prediction was Becky was going to win, and then on SmackDown, Sasha should do to Charlotte what Charlotte did to Sasha after Crown Jewel. Charlotte taunted Sasha for losing a Crown Jewel. Now Sasha should come out and do the same. Yes, Sasha got eliminated, but, you know, still, she could still do that because you taunt Charlotte Flair, and obviously that could turn into a title match. Sasha did get screwed today. It was awful countout. Awful. I tell you, you know me, and I don't like match ratings. I don't like match ratings. And I am a fan of Meltzer, and I'm a fan of a lot of journalists out there that don't like each other. But I tell you, when Meltzer the other day said that Britt Baker and Ty Conti was like 4.5 stars, now he's kind of put himself in a corner. Because if he doesn't give this match at least 4.75 stars, because you're not going to tell me that this match was not as good as Ty Conti and Britt Baker. So now he's kind of put himself in a corner that, you know, you have to rate this match a little bit better. So for anybody that, you know, pays attention to that stuff, I'm very curious to see what he rates that match. So that was the match I was looking forward to. Now, unfortunately, we kind of go downhill for quite a bit. I mean, this was not very good. I mean, it had its moments. Definitely had its moments. Jeff Hardy, I mean, it's repetitive when I say it on these shows, but Jeff Hardy is so damn over with WWE fans. It's crazy. It's crazy. And you know what's beautiful about it? You know Jeff Hardy doesn't have much time left in his wrestling career. You know, he is weaning to a part-time wrestler. I mean, after all of these years, especially with his battles of addiction in the past, and you get older and the pain gets worse and it's intensified, to see that this guy still does what he does and to see the fans behind him is beautiful. It's beautiful. And that guy tonight was so damn over with the fans. Jeff Hardy is so over. And look, did I think he was winning Survivor Series tonight? No, I said my prediction was Seth Rollins would be a survivor. But it came down to Seth Rollins and Jeff Hardy. But the problem is, and this is notorious with elimination matches, with gauntlet matches, you should have figured this out 10, 15 years ago. When WWE has gauntlet matches or elimination matches, you will always get 2 or 3 decisions that are cheap. That are cheap. You're not going to have every finish go 5 to 7 minutes. You're just not going to have it. Otherwise, the pay-per-view will be 7 hours long. So when you have 10 people in there, sure, you don't have to have 8 decisions or 9 decisions and have a sole survivor. You could have multiple people on one team win. But if you heard my predictions yesterday, I said Seth Rollins needs to be the sole survivor, or at minimum with Kevin Owens, because they're the ones that are going to be taking on Big E next. So having a win at Survivor Series is good momentum into fighting Big E. It gives the suspension of disbelief that Seth Rollins could be a viable threat for Big E's championship. Same thing with Kevin Owens. If you haven't realized it, Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins have 2 different jobs right now. 2 different jobs. Shout out to Nero Faye. Blue Wire is the network that I signed with, and I will be officially in their directory in the next day or two. They're making up artwork, and right now they wanted to create some new artwork, and if it's not completed, they're going to stick to my artwork. So once I'm in the directory, that's when you'll see me really start pushing it and letting everybody know the change of bookmarks and everything like that. Right now, you know, I'm on their network, but in the directory, that's a big difference. So you'll see that in the next couple of days. So, and just remember, everyone, tomorrow, Monday, Mish and I are going to be doing Rapid Fire. Tomorrow, we're recording it in the early afternoon. It's not going to be live, but we're going to record it early afternoon, and it will post online Thursday morning. It'll probably be like early, like 12 a.m. Thanksgiving morning. That'll be for everybody to enjoy. So if you have not posted your Rapid Fire yet, you have tonight. That's it, because tomorrow I'm going to pull all the questions. And again, if you don't know what Rapid Fire is, look it up, because I do see people writing these books. Rapid Fire is 10 seconds and out, 10 seconds and out. So some people's questions, unfortunately, are not going to be answered. I don't want anybody to feel, you know, to be, you know, feel left out. Rapid Fire is Rapid Fire. So, no, Bob the Builder, you are 100% right. The Vince McMahon segments were cringe, but look, I want to say this with the utmost respect, because I have said this before. May not rub people the right way. Other than my father and my brother, other than my father and my brother, there's no other man that's been in my life as long as Vince McMahon, entertaining me since I was a kid. You know, Vince McMahon now is an old man. Vince McMahon is a shell of what he was even 6-7 years ago. Vince McMahon, even when he talks, you could see a little extra energy takes a lot out of him. So any segments that you see of Vince McMahon, they're not going to be very good. It's almost like it's polite, like, oh, let's, you know, give him a little something. You know, it was good to see Vince. I know everybody, a lot of people hate Vince because of the releases and everything like that. But me, I'm a fan. I'm not an employee. And I've seen what the corporate world does. It's been doing for decades. If it upsets you that much, then you can't follow WWE. But Vince McMahon, any segments that he does these days are not going to be very good. If you remember WrestleMania, I mean, people expected him to give a couple of sentences. He did nothing. You know, usually he shows his face once in a blue moon and he walks the other direction. But you are right. They are cringe, but he is an old man now. And I don't expect anything different. Oh, thank you very much, Bob. If Vince Russo would have offered me to be on his network, I would have done it in a second, in a heartbeat. But the fact of the matter is, Vince Russo is circled by people who have been in wrestling and have succeeded, you know, in the bigger picture. Just because I did some indie stuff for 6-7 years and part-time doesn't qualify, I would not have fit in on that network, you know. So I appreciate that, and I would have loved it. But no, I don't fit in. I'm not worthy, and I'm saying that to be sincere. Shout out to James Gruesome. Thank you very much for the two spot, my friend. Much appreciated. Thank you for that super chat, my friend. So we go to this 5-on-5 men's elimination match. And right off the bat, Kevin Owens sets the tone. I purposely went off social media for half an hour, because the minute Kevin Owens walked out, right away, oh, it's a preview. He's going to walk out to go to AEW. They're putting him on the, all, you know, Kevin Steen is All Elite. And man, fans could fantasize, no question. A lot of AEW fans would love to see that guy in that company. But when I see 1,000 people doing, I'm like, oh God, you know, please, you know, giving me a headache. So the storyline is, and this is what I was going to say before, and yes, Darren Gordon Hill, you're probably right. Vince McMahon's probably the one that stole the egg. He probably did steal the egg. You know? Anyway. Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens have two different roles right now. Seth Rollins, his role is to elevate Big E even further. Kevin Owens' role is to get Big E more over as a babyface. There's a lot of people that like Rollins that have turned the corner with Rollins because he's so goddamn entertaining. And the stuff that he just did with Edge was top-notch. So a lot of fans do like Seth Rollins. But Kevin Owens, it does a better job as being that heel and talks his way out of, you know, being a babyface. And look, him and Bryan Danielson in 1 week were able to just turn the switch off. Not everybody could do that. Very few could do that. So Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens' roles are two totally different roles right now. So when Kevin Owens says that he is going to show tonight, you know, who he really is, and he's going to show the fans this and that, and he walks out, that's just to cement him as a heel. So they have two different roles tonight. So Kevin Owens walking out, that is going to help Big E in the babyface department. But that's all that was. And right away, oh, that's a prelude to him walking out and go to AEW. Come on, man. But still, a lot of people do like watching Kevin Owens wrestle. And the fact that he just walks out and, you know, they play off. And by the way, him and Seth Rollins arguing who starts first, you could see where that's going. Three-way. It's going to be a three-way. You know, January 1st is only 5 weeks away. That's their next pay-per-view, January 1. So there's probably not enough time to build two separate feuds. You're probably going to see a three-way with those guys. Bob the Builder, thank you very much for the 10 spot, my friend, for the with the super chat. I will pull you up in... Where are you? That's strange. Hold on a second. The hell did these things go? For some reason, I can't see it on the screen. Well, I'll read it. He hasn't watched WWE in almost 7 years. The main difference he noticed is that there is way more sponsorships and commercials and way more gimmick characters. Nah, it's been like that, man. You know, just because they did pizza tonight, everybody's like, oh, too many sponsorships. Nah, that's business. That's business. I mean, you go back 20, 30 years with Survivor Series, you know, they did have sponsors. You know, I mean, you go to WCW, they'd be sponsored by Slim Jim and others. You know, it's more visible now because they incorporate it during matches. You know, wasn't too long ago, remember the Kentucky Fried Chicken stuff? We had Dolph Ziggler dress up like the Colonel. I think Shawn Michaels dressed up like the Colonel. And then they had the chicken at ringside. By the way, wasn't one of the persons at the table like somebody from AEW? I think so. When they did the chicken stuff, chat room, wasn't there somebody from AEW that actually was sitting at the table with them? I think there was. Someone will remember. But, yeah, it's strange. I don't know why I can't see his super chat. Maybe because I have the Streamlabs going. But thank you very much, my friend. Definitely want to acknowledge you. Miz dressed up as the Colonel. Oh, Miz was the chicken. Thank you, Psycho. Miz was the chicken. Does anybody remember who was at the table? There was somebody from AEW that was at the table. I don't remember who it was. Well, anyway, so Kevin Owens walks off. And right away, fans, it just deflated a lot of fans. Took the air out of the balloon. They got the air back when Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley had the confrontation in the ring. You know, wasn't too long ago this year that Drew and Bobby Lashley were having this big, intense feud. Problem is, they brawl outside the ring. They go over the barricade. They both get counted out. Fans were not having it. Pissed off a lot of fans. And that match was pretty much done in. It was really done in after that. You had some quick decisions after that. Finn Balor with the coup de grace on King Corbin. He's eliminated. He was eliminated before Lashley and Drew McIntyre, but the eliminations were pretty quick and very sloppy until we got to the very end of it. You had King Woods that was in the ring with Austin Theory, and King Woods had the upper hand on Austin Theory, and what happened, Seth Rollins distracts the ref, and while the ref was distracted, Bobby Lashley knocks King Woods off the middle rope. Bobby Lashley hits King Woods and nails him with the Hurt Lock, and King Woods taps out. King Woods is eliminated. Now we have Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley. Now, right after King Woods is eliminated, that's where you have the Lashley-Drew confrontation. And they quickly eliminate both of them. They both get eliminated outside the ring. Crowd is not having it. So to put a little distraction, Drew McIntyre gets back in the ring. And Seth Rollins is kind of like taunting him behind him. Seth Rollins is tapping him, and he's like, you know, you're out of here. You're eliminated. So Drew McIntyre headbutts Seth Rollins. Sheamus tries to pin Seth Rollins, but he only gets a two count. And then before you know it, Finn Balor is eliminated by Sheamus with a bro kick. So now we have Austin Theory and Seth Rollins working together. Remember, they have a little bit of history with each other right at the beginning of the pandemic. So they're working together against Sheamus, and Sheamus gets pinned. Sheamus and Jeff Hardy, who have history, after Sheamus gets pinned, Sheamus is not happy. He takes it out on Jeff Hardy. So it's just a mess. This confrontation, it was just a mess, an absolute mess. So Jeff Hardy ultimately hits the Swanton on Austin Theory. So now we're down to Seth Rollins versus Jeff Hardy. Crowd strongly behind Jeff Hardy, loud. But in the end, Jeff Hardy goes for a Swanton on Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins gets the knees up, hits his finisher. Jeff Hardy is eliminated. Seth Rollins is your sole survivor. The match had a couple of moments that were fun, but it quickly got overshadowed by some really messy decisions. It was just, it killed the momentum of the match. The fans were just not having it. The Usos versus RK-Bro was a fun match. The fans recovered during this match again. Randy Orton makes history tonight. After the match is over, the fans acknowledged Randy Orton, and Randy Orton acknowledging the fans right back. Fun back and forth match. There were a couple of times that we thought that Riddle was going to get pinned, because Riddle, many times in non-title matches or one-on-ones, Riddle seems to be the one that always eats a pin. And we had a couple of moments, one where the Usos gave the double kick to Randy Orton, the super kick to Randy Orton's head. Randy Orton is knocked outside the ring. They do the same to Riddle. Somehow Riddle is not getting pinned in this one. 2 7/8, 2 8/9. So what ends up happening? Pretty much what we have been getting over and over and over again, but they look so good, nobody complains. We get an RK out of nowhere. Basically, Randy Orton is kicked by Jimmy Uso, but the referee saw that Randy Orton was the legal man. Jimmy Uso did not see it. Jimmy Uso knocks Randy Orton outside the ring. Riddle is not the legal man. Jimmy Uso continues his offense on Riddle, climbs the top rope, goes to do a splash onto Riddle. Randy Orton slithers himself back in the ring, hits the RK out of nowhere, and gets the win. So, fun little match. I would have liked to see this match go another 5 minutes, especially with those segments earlier. I really got to find out what caused them to throw those extra promos on there, because they were so out of place and just random that they were covering up something. Something did not go down tonight the way it was supposed to. Thank you, Psycho. He did the research. Julia Hart from AEW, the young lady that's with Griff Garrison and Brian Pillman Jr., Julia Hart was the one at the KFC table. Props, Psycho. Props. Fun little match. Crowd got back into it. Wait a minute. Why are we holding? Hold the horses. Oh, I know what happened. I didn't organize the matches. It's okay. Got it right here. Now we get the Battle Royal. After I do pay-per-view reviews, I always tell you the match I like the most and the match I like the least. Right now, I haven't decided yet which match I like the least, but man, did I dislike this match. This was a freaking mess. The only thing about this Battle Royal was to show Omos's dominance as a big man. It was sloppy. The comedy did not go off well. The participants in this match, Ricochet, T-Bar, Mansoor, Cesaro, Montez Ford, Angelo Dawkins, Eric Ivar, R-Truth, Drew Gulak, AJ Styles, Sami Zayn, Humberto Carrillo, Angel Garza, Apollo Crews, Commander Aziz, Otis, Chad Gable, Shelton Benjamin, Cedric Alexander, Dolph Ziggler, Robert Roode, Jinder Mahal, and Shanky. Mostly tag teams. Mace didn't get an appearance, though. But mostly tag teams if you really look at it. You have pizza everywhere. You have AJ Styles hanging out at the announcer's table for quite some time. And R-Truth is eating pizza, and as I showed you earlier, R-Truth brings a slice in the ring, wants to give it to Omos. Omos declines, gives it to Otis. Otis eats it, eliminates R-Truth. That's pretty much where it goes down from here. AJ Styles, after several minutes, finally gets back in the ring, eliminates Dolph Ziggler. You know what was wrong with this match? I'll tell you exactly what was wrong with this match. They called it a Raw versus SmackDown dual brand Battle Royal. That's where the fault lies. Why even mention Raw and SmackDown when Raw wrestlers kept eliminating Raw wrestlers and SmackDown wrestlers kept eliminating SmackDown wrestlers? It was every man for himself. If you have a Battle Royal, or if you have a Royal Rumble, is it a dual brand Royal Rumble? You don't say that. By having dual brand Raw and SmackDown, it sounds like Raw is going after SmackDown and SmackDown's going after Raw, and that did not happen. And it was a freaking mess. I don't know if anybody there, or maybe they're just too afraid to tell creative or Vince. Somebody should have said, why are we even saying dual brand? It's every man for himself. It's just like any other Battle Royal. Raw guys are going to eliminate Raw guys, and that's what happened. You had AJ eliminating Dolph. You had Omos eliminating a lot of Raw wrestlers. You had Omos inadvertently eliminate AJ Styles, technically, because after Aziz gets eliminated, and that was even worse. Aziz is eliminated. General Commander Aziz is holding AJ Styles. Aziz is on the floor. AJ Styles is still in the ring. He's grabbing AJ Styles, trying to pull him over the top rope. The referee is just outside the ring next to Aziz, like, cool. Not trying to stop Aziz. You're eliminated. Stop. What are you doing? You're eliminated. Just stood there and watched it. It was awful. And honestly, this match does not deserve any more discussion time. It came down to Omos and Ricochet. And even the setup where Ricochet was like going to throw Omos to the edge of the ring, Omos just like runs into the ring and, you could tell like he was a little bit lost. So Omos ends up picking up Ricochet and throws him over the top rope, gets the win. And then I guess he's supposed to be awarded with pizza. And the Street Profits grab the pizza, they run away, and they start throwing the pizza in the crowd. The only thing that was, you know what impressed me the most about this match? How freaking far Montez Ford was throwing slices. I mean, he literally threw it about a block away. Seriously. If you're in front of your house and somebody on the next block, hey, throw me a slice. I never saw anybody. That got to be like close to a record. There's got to be a world's record for throwing slices of pizza. He threw it so freaking far, but that match was awful. Not, it was just to showcase Omos. Okay. Like I said, I have to manually fix these. Okay. Just going back and forth. Going back and forth. We had a segment with Roman Reigns in Vince McMahon's office. And as I showed you earlier, Vince McMahon had an egg. It's not a movie prop from The Rock's movie. It's actually Cleopatra's egg. It's worth $100 million. And it's in some glass case. And Roman Reigns is in the office. I still don't even understand why Vince McMahon called him in. You know, it's like a forced seed planting. Hey, you know, remember, you know, it's 25 years at The Rock. You know, he started with $7 in his pocket. And then Vince McMahon shows the $100 million egg, and Roman Reigns is like, yeah, that's my contract. That's how much my contract's going to be, $100 million. Totally unnecessary segment. Just was stupid. So now we get the Xia Li hype video from SmackDown, the cartoon video we talked about yesterday. Excellent video. But I don't understand why it was on the pay-per-view tonight. Earlier, we had a package for Drew McIntyre after the 5-on-5. After the 5-on-5. Now, I could understand if they did little showcases for every person in the match. But there was just a Drew McIntyre package for some reason. Showing us when he was the chosen one. So now we get the women's 5-on-5 elimination match. Within seconds, Toni Storm pins Carmella. Carmella trying to adjust the mask. Toni Storm rolls her up. Carmella eliminated just like that. Now, I'm not saying that the fans wanted Carmella to stick around, but it set the tone almost immediately. Then we get a lot of confusion. Early on in the match, Shayna Baszler ends up in the ring. Shayna Baszler tries to tag out to Sasha Banks. Shotzi Blackheart pulls Sasha off of the apron, falls to the floor. Okay, dissension with Shotzi and Sasha. So now we get Shayna back in the ring with Rhea Ripley, and it was boring. It didn't click. This is when the fans started doing a wave, trying to entertain themselves, because it just felt like a mess. It was not organized. It just felt random. The only time the fans stopped the wave and started getting into the match is when Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair got in the ring. And they're trying to recreate the WrestleMania moment. They're trying to recreate the crown jewel moment. But, you know, if you actually listen to it close, you know, they're trying to trash talk each other. And it felt forced. I mean, the fans were into it. And those two worked great together. But it was not enough to save the match. We get Bianca goes in the corner. And Zelina tags herself in. So Bianca picks up Zelina and throws her on Sasha Banks for a two count. Just to have Zelina Vega eliminated almost immediately by Toni Storm. So look, for Toni Storm fans, hey, you know, she got two eliminations tonight. Liv Morgan, you know, obviously needs to improve a little bit more, a little bit of shakiness in the ring tonight. She quickly eliminates Toni Storm, and there is no reaction to the crowd whatsoever. None. Zero. Then we're getting Liv Morgan and Shayna Baszler trying to go at it. And it just was a mess. Shayna Baszler, you know, obviously if you pay attention to her character in recent months on SmackDown, tonight it just felt like she's standing there waiting for people to hit her with moves. And the crowd was just not having it. So here is where it gets stupid and confusing. Liv Morgan is eliminated. How is Liv Morgan eliminated? Shayna Baszler gets the upper hand on Liv Morgan. Shotzi Blackheart is the legal person. Shotzi Blackheart does a splash. Sasha Banks gets tagged in. Sasha Banks does a splash. They both did consecutive splashes. Shotzi did a splash. Sasha did a splash. Sasha pins Liv Morgan. They worked together. So now we're down to Bianca and Rhea Ripley versus Sasha Banks, Shotzi Blackheart, Natty, and Shayna Baszler. So now you could kind of sense where this is going. This might come down to Bianca Belair prevailing. Rhea Ripley eliminates Shayna Baszler. So now it's Bianca versus four members of SmackDown. Now we get Shotzi and Sasha arguing again. And you could see that someone is going to get counted out, possibly both. They're outside the ring. They're arguing with each other. Shayna Baszler accidentally gets thrown in. Somebody gets thrown into Shayna Baszler. The referee is counting, and the count was so slow and painful that the ref, you got Sasha and Shotzi arguing outside the ring, and the ref is counting two. And it just, the camera, you know, usually WWE does 100 different camera changes during a pay-per-view or even the regular TV shows. Here's where we're hoping, like, you change up the camera. They just stood on that one camera, and it's felt like forever that this referee's counting to 10. And Sasha twice getting back in the ring and gets pulled out, and then the referee counts out Sasha Banks. Crowd booed the shit out of it. Booed the fuck out of it. Natty gets rolled up. The boos get louder. CM Punk chant out of nowhere. Then we get Bianca Belair and Shayna Baszler going at it. Bianca Belair eliminates Shayna Baszler. So now we're down to Shotzi Blackheart and Bianca Belair. You could see now that they're rushing this match. Get it out of there. You're not getting the fans back. Bianca Belair with the KOD on Shotzi Blackheart. Bianca is your sole survivor. Terrible. Crowd was not into the match. Awful. So now we get Paul Heyman in the back. Hey, oh, Brooklyn. Oh, hey, how you doing? How you doing? You know, I loved it. Why are things falling? Paul Heyman is notified that Brock Lesnar is no longer under suspension. Why is, and I'm sorry for cursing, but how come asshole Adam Pearce is suddenly no longer an asshole? Oh, Survivor Series is great tonight. Just mixed messages the entire night. So after we get this Paul Heyman backstage interview with Caleb Braxton, I think it was Caleb Braxton, regardless, that's when we get the Bobby Lashley video package. And I freaking love Bobby Lashley. He was part of our Monday night intro. That was my choosing. I picked Bobby Lashley to be in an intro because, you know, he's really turned it up. But this package just kept going and going and going and going. And it was right before the main event. You're saying to yourself, okay, if Bobby Lashley was coming to Raw, being reintroduced to WWE television, if he was just signed and coming soon, then it would have made, or if he was in the main event, it was just thrown in there. Something tells me, this is my gut feeling, this is my gut feeling. We never got an answer about the goddamn egg. I have a feeling we're going to find out. I think I figured it out. I think we're going to find out that at that moment, we were supposed to find out what happened to the egg. And either they weren't ready, weren't prepared. Maybe Vince pooped his pants. You know, something that maybe Vince had to do poopy. Something happened and they had to scrap the segment and instead put on a Lashley package. Put somebody on there. Feature somebody. I don't care who it is. Give me Lashley. Put Lashley. I bet you that's what happened. It was so random. Honestly, and I'm not saying this to be dramatic. I don't emotionally clickbait here. I can't remember the last time WWE did something like that. If it was somebody who hadn't been on TV for a while and was returning, that's different. I honestly, in all my years of watching WWE, I don't remember ever seeing that. Right before the main event, you would have thought Bobby Lashley was in the main event tonight. I'm telling you, that's what happened. Something happened with that segment with the egg that they had to squash the segment and they just threw to Bobby. I'm telling you, you watch. That's exactly. And somebody is going to report it as exclusive breaking news. Our sources tell us that the segment was supposed to be Vince and revealing who took the egg. And unfortunately, for timing purposes, it was scrapped and they had to scramble and they put the Bobby Lashley package in there. All hail King Nance in the chat. All right, main event. Puffy 89, a random video package were to cover the Peacock ads for those that don't have ad-free. I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. I don't buy that at all because there's so many. I'll give you a good example. You could have had packages for things coming up on the network. Or something, they just, that was just so, listen, Peacock has had the $9.99 package for a very long time now. Peacock has had ads during WWE pay-per-views for a long time now. Tonight was not the first night of something being different that they had to scramble and change this and change this. Something was scrapped tonight. And because it's live, and because they had to scramble for a replacement, I'm telling you, they went and said, just throw a video package. What do we have? Throw Lashley on there. I think that's what's going to happen. I think that's what it was. But thank you very much. Look, what you say makes sense, but they've been doing that setup for a while now. This was random. I honestly cannot remember the last time WWE had done something like that. So now we go to the main event, Big E versus Roman Reigns. This was a very good match. The crowd gave it a "This is awesome" chant. And believe me, when you get two very disappointing 5-on-5 elimination matches, when you get a very disappointing battle royal, when you get a very disappointing outcome with Damian Priest and Shinsuke Nakamura, they're not extra into the main event. We had some great moments tonight. They earned the awesome chant. The problem with the main event is simple. Goes back to what I said at the beginning of tonight's recap. They hyped The Rock so many times. He had to be there. He had to be there. We had cosplay by Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley and Riddle and a few others last week paying tribute to The Rock. Look, 25 years of The Rock is awesome. It's his 25th year. If they would have showed him on the... Seriously, everybody, what is the big deal of The Rock, even if he's taking a shit in his hotel room? What is the big difference, big deal difference? What's the big deal of The Rock? Literally for 90 seconds over the last month, 2 months. And we talked about this before when SmackDown had an anniversary. The Rock show. And he doesn't even make a video. Remember that? You mean to tell me for the last 2 months, you know it's 25 years of The Rock. They knew it was going to be the 25th anniversary for The Rock 5 years ago. They knew a year ago. You know you're planning all these vignettes. You mean to tell me that you can't get The Rock, even if he's on the movie set, even if he's promoting the video? You know, when they do interviews, when a movie's coming up and you see the poster behind him and everything, like, you mean to tell me that The Rock couldn't just grab his phone, you know, hey, everybody, you know, thank you for 25 years, you know, The Rock, and, you know, here's the 25 more if you smell that. And you put it on the screen. Fans would have loved it. You couldn't even do that. So when you give us Rock segment after Rock segment, 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 and then you give us the main event, everybody's expecting The Rock to appear. Everybody online is like, okay, what do you think The Rock's going to do tonight? When is he going to come out? Is he going to cause Roman Reigns to lose? Is he going to have a stare down after the egg and all this other stuff? I mean, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? So the entire match, we're all wondering, when is The Rock going to come out? Even though I said earlier, didn't make sense when you think about the Brock Lesnar timing. It didn't make sense for WrestleMania. But they mentioned The Rock so many times, everybody expected him to come out. So as you're watching this match, you're looking at the time, you're looking at the match, and you're like, okay, when did the Usos come out? When does Woods, Kofi, come out? When do we hear The Rock's music? Are we going to get teased? What's going to happen? And nothing happens. Reminds me of that Honeymooners episode. Remember the Honeymooners episode? That Ralph Cramden, I know it's outdated, but Ralph Cramden thinks that they're going to do a surprise party. He finds something that they're going to do a surprise party for his birthday. And he walks into his house and he opens the door with Norton. Whoa, what a surprise. And there's nobody there. And he's looking at Norton and he's like, what's going on? Supposed to have a surprise birthday. And Norton's like, I figured it out. She puts the note in the drawer, surprise party, all these things, this and that. And the surprise is there is no birthday party. So the surprise tonight was that there was no surprise. Killed the freaking match. No interference. I would have been happy with interference, to be honest with you. Something to mix this up. This did not help Big E at all. Big E had a great match with Roman Reigns. No question. Big E held his own. But in the end, Roman Reigns wins. Roman Reigns is in the ring holding his title. He leaves the ring. He's walking up the rampway slowly. Big E grabs his belt and he's in the ring. Oh, what happened? What happened? And now we're like, okay, all right, well, this kind of sucked the way it finished. Well, The Rock's music is going to hit. And we don't know what's going to happen. So if The Rock's music hits, that's the synopsis I had tonight. I swear to you, the synopsis I had tonight was, if you look in the description area right now, I wrote something like, no question there were some duds tonight. The five-on-fives and some outcomes were duds. The next sentence was, however, The Rock quickly overshadowed that or quickly was diverted. I honestly expected that to be the focal point. Oh, shit, they are going to go with Reigns. We got nothing. Zero. And I'm watching it with my fiance. And I'm saying to her, well, maybe, you know, they didn't go off the air yet. You know, and if you saw at the very end, they had the far camera where you saw the elevated monitor in the corner. And I said to her, I said, maybe The Rock's intro hit now. You know, they have deliberately the screen in the corner of the view on the TV. and nothing. And then he put the credits on the bottom. Now, I don't remember which pay-per-view it was this year, but they had the credits on the bottom, and I think Brock Lesnar came out or somebody came out. And they were like, holy shit, I remember coming in this room on that pay-per-view, I saw the credits, oh, time to do the show. And then all of a sudden I hear music. I think it was Brock Lesnar. I ran back inside. I'm like, holy shit. So they swerved us. I saw the credits today. This time I didn't move. I'm like, okay, The Rock's going to come out. Yeah, he's going to come. And then they fade away. And I'm like, oh my God. WWE, how can you do that? Come on. You gave us 8 video packages of The Rock today? And not even a video? You give us Xia Li, Drew McIntyre, and Bobby Lashley videos, Vince McMahon with a freaking metal egg? All those wrestlers were cheering at Vince. They're probably saying, all right, Vince is going to come out of the... Everybody, I'm going to come out of the limo. I'm going to have this egg. And this is from the movie. And you got to act all excited. And just pretend I didn't fire you. And he gets out of the limo like, hey, thank you for not firing me. He looks frail. He is frail. He's still... You see, the amazing thing about Vince is... SRH John, happy anniversary, my friend. Welcome to the family, officially. You know what's amazing about Vince? Vince still goes to the gym. Vince still lifts weights. But you just feel like one day he's going to lift a weight. I'm not saying anything tragic, but he's going to lift a weight. His body is just not going to be able to handle it. He's going to tear something, pull something. You see him that frail, but yet the guy still works his ass off in the gym. I mean, you know, God bless him, but man. This, honestly, I thought the horror show at Extreme Rules was the worst pay-per-view of all time. I'm not saying tonight's Survivor Series was the worst pay-per-view of all time, but the last time I had a pay-per-view end from WWE that I felt so disappointed was probably the horror show at Extreme Rules. If you go back and you look at my predictions from yesterday, I said that really, for me, it's about one match. Charlotte versus Becky Lynch. That was the match that I was looking forward to. I mean, Randy Orton and RK-Bro versus the Usos was going to be fun. But I felt more of like a Raw feeling to it. Like if the match would have happened on Raw or Survivor Series, it would have felt the same way. Like it didn't feel extra special. And please, everyone, let me say 2 things also. Number one, you know, I don't buy this. Well, you know, they didn't hype up Survivor Series all that much. And, you know, there was no anticipation. And that's why everybody, you know, did. No. I mean... Just because some people out there, you know, want to cry and say WWE sucks, I'm not looking forward to Survivor Series, oh, it's going to suck, I'm going to watch paint dry, I'm going to count how many pubic hairs I have, you know, I can't, you know, hey, everybody, look, I'm telling you all, I can't, Survivor Series is going to suck. Look, everybody, I'm telling you, I'm not going to watch it. And then you watch it. And then you kind of like it. You know, I was never in that position. I go into it expecting for it to be decent. Tonight, I was very disappointed. Now, they have 15,120 fans there tonight. I don't know why people were in such denial. Like, there's no way they have 15,000 fans tonight. If you looked at the building was full. What a lot of people seem to not understand, and you know what's the most hilarious thing about it? You have Twitter accounts that only talk about tickets, wrestling tickets. You know what these matarazzas... And they can't even figure it out. You have people that buy tickets the day of the event. That last minute, spur of the moment. Hey, you know, let's go. Let's go to Barclays. I know a few people that were hit or miss if they were going. So just because they sold 12,000 tickets up until a day or two ago, it's not out of the question that 2,000, 3,000 people decide the same day, hey, you know what? The weather's not too bad. Let's go. So all those goofs online that are insisting to you, insisting that Michael Cole lied. People do buy tickets the day of the event. 2,000-3,000 people buying tickets the day of the event. Yeah, that does happen. It happens in basketball. It happens in other sports. So, you know, that's the facts. Steph Tegan-Knox is not, she's not with WWE. Didn't she get released last week? She got released last week. So anyway, that is your pay-per-view. On a scale of 1 to 10, boy, you go through these matches. I'm looking at it. I mean, Charlotte and Becky was awesome. Nakamura and Damian Priest was good, but, you know, all the guitar shit in the ending kind of, like, spoiled it for me. The men's 5-on-5, I did not like. The tag team match was good. The women's 5-on-5, I didn't like. The Battle Royal, I didn't like. I give it 5.5, 6. Give it a 6 out of 10. And I might even be generous. It might even be generous. 6 out of 10. 5.5 out of 10. It was just, you know, I give it 5.5 out of 10. It was just average. You know, Charlotte and Becky, though, man, I mean, that was worth the price of Peacock admission. So 5.5 or 6, somewhere around there. My favorite pay-per-view, favorite match, obviously, was Becky versus Charlotte. My least favorite match, it's either women's 5-on-5, the men's 5-on-5, or the Battle Royal. I'm going to go with the women's 5-on-5. Sorry. I don't praise women's content simply because, you know, it's the cool thing to do on social media. If I feel the women are worthy of praise, I give it. Look, they had the best match tonight. Charlotte and Becky tore it up tonight. It's not even close. So the women's 1-on-1 was my favorite match of the night. The women's 5-on-5 was my least favorite match of the night. So with that said, what should we do, everyone? Should we take calls? I mean, does anybody really want to call in to talk about the pay-per-view tonight? I mean, you know, if we take calls, it's strictly about the pay-per-view. If it's not necessary, I mean, if everybody just wants to call in just to complain, I don't even know if we should do that. That's up to you. Chat room, you let me know. Okay. Everybody's saying they're extremely tired. Yeah, it's 1:15 in the morning. It's 1:15 in the morning. So let's just call it. Let's call it. Like I said, it's a shame. It's a shame that it ended up being as this disappointing. I mean, who the hell wants to stay up on a Sunday night till 2 a.m. on a pay-per-view that was not up to its expectations? So, all right. So we're going to call it. In the comments section tonight, let me know. I mean, what was your favorite match? You know, some of you out there may not go with Charlotte versus Becky. How did you feel about this pay-per-view? I mean, was there anything that I said tonight you think I was a little bit too harsh or I was not harsh enough? I tell you, for the last pay-per-view of 2021, it's a tale of two promotions right now. AEW killed it on their final pay-per-view. And yes, they only have 4 pay-per-views a year, so they cram a lot more. But, you know, to go out of 2021 like this, not very good. Not very good. And I still do not understand why they closed out the pay-per-view the way they did. So uneventful and so much anticipation for The Rock. And the worst part of it, about it is this freaking egg thing. Everybody's expecting a gobbledygooker because of the history with the gobbledygooker. So here's Vince with a freaking egg. And we're like, okay, is it going to hatch? What the hell's going to come out of it? The thing that Eric Rowan had in the cage, and we get no conclusion. And honestly, I think Vince deserves it. As much as I love him, you know, I shouldn't say I love him. As much as I appreciate all the entertainment he's given me as a kid, me and my grandmother bonded a million times over simply because of wrestling. connecting with all of you over the years. I mean, I thank him for a lot of it, but tonight he kind of deserves some of the bullshit that went down. I feel bad for the people who worked their asses off tonight, and trust me, I will almost guarantee you will see a few wrestlers who perform tonight on the card that will probably say something publicly about some of the crowd reaction tonight. Well, guess what? Guess what? You know, when you get with some of what you got tonight, if I was fans, I would be visibly upset too. So, all right, everybody. On your way out, if you enjoyed tonight's show, I would very much appreciate it if you hit that like button. You'd be surprised. The more of you out there that do that, the more that tells YouTube that this episode should be recommended to others. Tomorrow's going to be a busy day because tomorrow in the early afternoon, Mish and I will be doing that rapid fire episode for Thanksgiving. So you'll get an episode on Thanksgiving Day, even though I'll be on vacation. And then tomorrow night, Monday night after Raw, I'll be back here with Mish again for Breakfast Soup Raw. We'll see what fallout happens from Survivor Series, any news that breaks, and we'll have some discussion as well. And then Tuesday's Patreon, Wednesday's still up in the air because I am going away for Thanksgiving and the weekend. The only question I have right now is if I'm leaving Wednesday night or Thursday morning. As of right now, I'm leaving Thursday morning, so I still plan on doing a show Wednesday night. But if that changes, I will definitely post it on social media. I'll post it in a community section here. I'll let everybody know about Wednesday. As of right now, the show is still on. But, you know, I got to see what the weather is like. If I decide to leave Wednesday night, I'll let you all know. So, everybody, thank you again. Much love. And I hope you can join us tomorrow night after Raw. So, be well, everybody. Definitely post your comments. Let me know what you thought about this pay-per-view tonight. Good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.